Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Now, those of you that listen to the podcast a lot will know that both Georgia and I sit on different sides of the ball field when it comes to this subject. You've got Georgia, who basically should be a chef, and you've got myself... who still lives off fish finger sandwiches. No, I am getting better. I'm getting much better. But we're really excited to talk to this person today because I feel like it's going to be a really, not only kind of educational conversation, but just really interesting. Loads of questions in from you guys. Dad of two, elite trained chef, founder of At Dad's Table, the writer of How to Grow Your Family. I've been like plowing through his book over the last week since he sent it.
Of all his achievements, this is the only book... cookery book that Zoe has ever said to me, ever commented on, really. God, it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. So, you know, scrap all your other accolades.
It's Adam Shaw to the podcast. Yay! Welcome, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good. Although you've got Giovanna Fletcher, who's like a friend of the podcast, on the front of the book. So can I be on the next
definitely
cover of the book with my quote?
Okay, yes, thanks. Definitely. The only cookbook I've looked at.
I've never heard Zoe talk about a cookbook in such a good way or a nice way before. And actually genuinely be like, you know, want to cook some of the recipes. So it's amazing. We might as well stop the episode now because that's all everyone needs to know.
I'm actually making the red pepper cheese and spinach muffins later on today.
Oh, they're good. They're good. They're really, really good.
I'll be putting that on Instagram. Adam, welcome to the podcast. It's really lovely to have you here. Just talk to us a little bit about your journey to, you know, becoming a published author for those people that don't know you, and talk to us about At Dad's Table.
Sure. So I studied at Leith's to be a chef about 5-6 years ago. And when I came out of chef school, I was full of ideas about what to do. And finishing chef school coincided with my wife becoming pregnant for the first time. And at that time, you know, I thought, right, let's look at all the fun things she can eat. And as a partner, I wanted to kind of look after her and look after baby and everything. And then I started researching around the advice around what you should eat when you're pregnant. And I just, well, we were both really, really kind of disheartened that a lot of the advice focused on what you can't do, not actually what you can do. And it was all kind of, don't eat shark. I live in Kent. There's not much shark here. Not really going to eat any of that. And it was all about, you know, eat lots of greens. Whereas obviously, as you both know, in the first trimester, that's not exactly what you want to be doing. So I dug a little deeper and I started creating really positive food for her that's going to make her feel good and embrace, firstly, what your body needs during the different trimesters, but also stuff that's going to make you feel good. Because you know you're vulnerable in pregnancy, you've got loads of people telling you what you should and shouldn't do. So I thought let's kind of look after the food, and it helps me stay involved as a partner when in pregnancy. You know, we don't really know how we can help. And I just started posting that food online, and it kind of went quite well. And then when my kids were born, I started taking the same kind of positive approach to weaning and then family food, and it's kind of just spiraled from there. And then so How to Grow Your Family is my book, which is kind of it encapsulates that journey over the last 4 or 5 years, where it takes you from first trimester eating beige food to all the food you can eat when you have a kind of a growing family around your table. But it's framed within this whole, let's use food as something to make us feel good about ourselves and show love to each other, rather than, you know, something that should be bad or something to stress about.
Do you know what? It's so interesting that you say that a lot of the advice is all around what you can't eat, because actually, I think when I found out I was pregnant for the first time, that's all I focused on. Oh, actually, I'm not supposed to have this. I'm not supposed to have that. And like you say, I didn't really think about what I should be having, just literally about what I shouldn't be having. And I love that, you know, you mentioned in the first trimester, God, we know we're supposed to be eating loads of vegetables. We know that. But sometimes all you want to do is eat like potatoes and pasta and anything that's beige. Oh,
mashed potatoes and gravy. I was literally going through pots of Bisto left, right and center. Like I was, they were literally in the supermarket trolley. Oh, another pot. Can you bring back some more Bisto? I kept saying, Tulsa was like, how much are you going through? I was like, I'm obsessed with putting Bisto on everything. I think it must have been the salt that I was craving.
Yeah, it's definitely the salt. And I remember there was this one key moment when my wife, it was first pregnancy, first trimester. She was at home working all day and I was at the office. And I came home and for lunch, she'd basically taken herself to Pizza Express and she'd ordered a garlic bread and a pizza. So basically two pizzas, right? Brilliant. And she burst into tears and thought, I didn't have any vegetables today. My baby's going to be stupid. And it's all this kind of pressure that you think, and of course that's not going to happen. And of course, as you come out of this fog of the first few months, your appetite is going to change anyway. But when you haven't been through that and you don't know that, you think, oh my God, I've just eaten dough. I'm going to have a stupid baby. And that kind of pressure, I thought that this isn't right. We shouldn't be feeling like we've failed before we've even started being parents.
Such a lovely ethos. And I also think it's the same is true for when you've had the baby, because I remember Georgia in those kind of first sort of, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks. And both Georgia and I were attempting to breastfeed at that time. And I was literally not really eating very much. And I was trying to get glasses of water down. My milk supply was going down and I wasn't focusing on my nutrition at all, because I think I was in constant state of shock, just thinking, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what I'm doing. How do I, you know, and there wasn't I was eating sort of pieces of toast with butter and Marmite, and they're not really, you know, it goes out the window, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and
it does.
I think, like you said, the information isn't necessarily out there. It's more about what we're not supposed to be eating rather than, hey, do you know what? This would be really, really beneficial for you to do. And it does, it's not going to take you 2 hours to make it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that the whole thing that I'm trying to get to it is that the second you become pregnant, maybe rightly so, but all information is about what can we do for our baby? You know, you're, what you said before, you'll think about your milk supply, you'll think about your baby, but there is no time or information or paid to what should the parents be doing to make themselves feel good. And they're not, you know, they're still people. They're not, you know, just parents. You know, we're still people. We still need to eat well. We still need to sleep well. What can we do along that journey to make sure that we're doing that?
Because you know what? We all know how rubbish we feel if we've been, you know, like, I don't know, on a weekend away and we've just eaten rubbish all weekend. We can feel, even if we've had 12 hours sleep every night because we haven't been with the kids, we still feel crap because we feel like heavy and a bit gross. So I
lethargic.
So I guess when, you know, you've become a parent for the first time, or you're just in that newborn stage, second or third or whatever, you know, how many times you've done it, you do need to think about that. And it's such a lovely way for other people to get involved as know that they're helping you by, you know, providing the parents with some food, or you're just making sure they're eating right.
You know, Dozer and I are on this kind of real health kick ahead of the summer, and we're always pretty healthy. Our diet is pretty balanced and good, but we decided on Friday afternoon that we'd go for a Pizza Express with the kids. We're like, oh, it's fine, you know, we don't really tend to eat wheat and we don't eat dairy during the week apart from butter, or, you know, a few other bits and pieces, natural yogurt. And we both had these massive pizzas and we were like, yeah, this is great. Anyway, 2 hours later, got home, we were on the sofa, both of us had fallen asleep, 5 o'clock. I slept really badly. I had to get up for breakfast the next morning and I had no energy. I had black eyes. And I was like, it's got to be the fact that we ate all that wheat and all that dough before bed. Isn't it? It's so crazy how quickly it just,
It is crazy what an impact. Well, it's not actually, because it's fuel, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Like,
it
I think
is.
Of it, it's not crazy, but it is crazy how quickly, you know, just one or two meals or a couple of days of eating out of how you normally would, and you can just feel terrible.
But I think it's also important, though, to keep it in moderation, because, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, you know, you need to be eating kale crisps at 3 o'clock in the morning whilst you're feeding your baby.
Really?
It's not going to happen. But if you can have that kind of one nourishing hot meal a day, not just for mum, but for dads or partners too, because they're, you know, sleep deprived and working all day as well. Yeah. And then you have that kind of fridge full of good stuff that you can eat one-handed during the day. What we used to do with my wife is that, you know, she breastfed all the way, so I never, you know, gave my kids bottles, but I'd wake her up at 1 o'clock in the morning to do the feed, but I'd wake her up with, you know, a pot of chocolate mousse or some tiramisu or like a hot chocolate.
Oh God, Adam, what, can you come live at my house?
But what you're saying about stimulating milk supply is it's a pot of calcium. It's good for you, but it's something to look forward to and get you up for that 1 o'clock feed. And so I think it's all in moderation. And, you know, both times we brought our kids home from the hospital, the night we've got home, we've had a takeout pizza. Yeah, so I'm not, you know, saying it has to be home cooked everything. Okay. It's just, you know, making you doing stuff to make you feel good at the end of the day.
Everything in moderation. Love that. Right, let's get into these questions. We've got loads. I'll kick us off. What is the best easy healthy lunch food to keep me going with a toddler and a baby?
It's all about pre-making stuff like pesto or grilling vegetables or making some hummus and everything, so you can open up the fridge and make some quick snacks. I batch make pesto, and when we get home from swimming on a Saturday morning with the boys, you can just pop some out. If you freeze them in little ice cube trays and just stir it into some pesto, and it is such a good way of getting your kids to eat loads of spinach and garlic and cheese and onions and everything, as well as like carb-heavy pasta.
Love it. Do you know what you said about frozen vegetables? I have these frozen roasted vegetables, obviously in my freezer, and they do them in, I think they do them on a Cardo and in Sainsbury's. And sometimes if I'm just at home, like I need a quick lunch, I just like fry some of those in some olive oil and then maybe like have some tuna with it or something else, and that's so easy, because roasting vegetables takes a long time.
Yeah,
it's like a good 45 minutes, isn't it? So frozen vegetables.
And you can do that one-handed, right?
Yeah, exactly. Here's another one: best food for healing postpartum, especially vegetarian options.
Postpartum, you want high energy foods, so it's lots of lentils, lots of pulses, lots of sweet potato. Stuff that is nourishing your body, but you're not going to get kind of that energy spike and then that drop. It's going to be slow release energy throughout the evening and throughout the day. So, you know, let's make some like a lentil chili con carne, sweet potato dal, that sort of stuff. Anything that's using whole grain and brown rice.
How do you make lentils?
So I bake.
You're just rolling our eyes. Lentils. Okay.
No, I just buy the ones that are pretty much already done.
Yeah,
canned lentils. So cook some garlic, cook some spices like turmeric, cumin, coriander, onion. Cook it in, I like to cook it in coconut milk, so it has a nice kind of sweet tang.
Lovely.
Dice up some sweet potato or roast it, so you've got a little bit of texture as well. And just cook it for about 15, 20 minutes.
Well, and then you put the can of lentils into that, is it a fry pan or saucepan?
Frying pan, and the lentils soak up all of the coconut milk.
Yeah,
and you just cook it for about 15, 20 minutes.
Well, you can also buy, so you know, like the Tilda rice packs.
Yeah,
you can buy lentils in those. My husband takes them to work. They're like, are they called like Merchant Gourmet or something
Yeah, they're really good.
And you literally just put them in the microwave, so you could just add them. You could have like some chicken or salmon and just have those.
Because one of my favorites, so if we ever. I'm not a massive fan of Indian food, sorry, because my husband really he said that he would never have married me had I told him that I didn't like curry, but anyway, kept that one quiet. I do like some curries. I'd really like vegetarian options, so I love the tucker dal and I love the kind of sag paneer and stuff like that, but I would love to be able to create something like that at home. But I always look at lentils like I look at rice and think, oh, that's going to take me way too long, so I just don't do
but also, I mean, especially with times are tight, you know, a can of lentils in the supermarket is about 50p.
Brilliant.
So they're so cheap, and you know, lentils aren't just for Indian food. So whenever you're cooking anything, you know, pasta based or like a spaghetti bolognese or anything.
I was going to say bolognese. You can do half and half, can't you? Meat and lentils.
Yeah, and I do that for my kids as well. So they're getting more lentils.
Yeah.
Like a nice little French stew, some chorizo and some lentil cooked together is gorgeous. It's a nice bed for cod or salmon as well. So it's really not just Indian food.
Sounds great.
So
brilliant. Taking notes. I'm getting into this. Food to help bring in and keep my milk supply going.
I'm not a nutritionist, but from research that I've read and research that I know is out there is nothing that stimulates your milk supply. There's nothing that you eat that brings in the milk. But because you're losing milk, you should be eating lots of calcium to kind of replenish it.
Right.
Lots of dairy, lots of cheese. You know, I mentioned kind of the midnight feeds of hobnobs and hot chocolate and chocolate mousse and everything. That's all good. But also there's lots of calcium in leafy vegetables and greens and kale and spinach and all that sort of stuff. So anything that's full of calcium, really.
Georgia, do you remember I was taking those tablets to bring in my... Yeah, the boob cookies.
Yeah,
they were amazing.
Like Boobix or something like that. I can't say if I know if it worked or not. I've got no idea. But I guess... You just do these things. They're not going to do any harm, are they?
Yeah.
So you think, well, I might as well.
Yeah, and it was probably a nice whole grain biscuit and it was pretty healthy anyway.
Yes, yes.
And it's probably based on those principles that you say, like they're probably full of calcium in some way or something like that.
Right. I also bought from Holland & Barrett, it's $11.99, it's called fenugreek.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember? And yeah. they come highly recommended. We spoke to a nutritionist about them and she was like, and my herbalist actually was like, they're the ones to get. So definitely do your research on those. But yeah, they're the ones that they're the ones that I took, and they seem to do the trick.
Actually, moving on, healthy snack ideas for a tired breastfeeding mum of two, like healthy snacks to eat while breastfeeding. Lots of questions around like healthy snacks, basically one-handed.
So the key to one-handed snacks is to get your partner involved or to get another family member involved and take an hour or two on a Sunday afternoon before the working week starts and just prep. So what we would do in both fourth trimesters, on a Sunday evening, I'd make some pesto, I'd grill some vegetables, cook some chicken breast, boil some eggs, get some baby bell, make some hummus, chop some cucumber and carrots into sticks, all that sort of stuff, and chuck it in the fridge so that when you are one-handed, you can just open the fridge and take stuff out. So whenever it's questions about, you know, tired snacks for breastfeeding mama, try and find a 2-hour window in the week where you can just get that stuff done. In the mornings, when I was leaving and going out to work, you know, make some scrambled eggs and put it in a wrap. You know, if you've only got one hand, putting food in a wrap is a really, really good idea. Yeah. So that when my wife was getting up later with a baby, there's, you know, a half warm ham and scrambled egg wrap waiting for her that gives her that little bit of nourishment. So as much as batch cooking kind of at the end of the third trimester is important for your dinners in the fourth trimester, when one of you is home alone, it's all about just getting stuff in the fridge that you can eat one-handed.
Yeah, and in terms of snacks, I don't know about you, but I loved, and this is one of the only things that I can make and make really well. In fact, I might do a whole cookery book on just doing flapjacks, because I feel like yes. I've completely nailed them, because you can get, you know, you put raisins in there, you can put apricots, you can put chopped nuts in there, you can make them with, you know, either honey or, you know, so if you didn't want to use sugar. So yeah. Yeah, they're really good, and they're sort of gooey and nutritious at the same time.
Which is for the earlier question about toddlers as well, because that's great yeah. family food for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess as well, if you feel like you don't have the time to prep, they're, you know, like in M&S or probably any supermarket, but M&S, I know they do loads of them. They do those little packets, don't they? Like with yeah. prawns and a dip, or yeah. they've got like carrot sticks and hummus, and you could almost just nip somewhere like that and just make sure you've got the fridge filled up with, you know,
exactly. little
pots like that, or just replicate them at home, like you were saying.
Yeah, basically. I mean, that's always on offer, right? On those yeah. supermarkets, buy 3 for 2 or whatever. Just
yeah.
So I guess the answer is just preparing a little bit. And I don't mean that to sound glib. I know kind of we're all raising babies, but to find that window or just add it to Ricardo or Sainsbury's shop or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And some I also really love, you know, the Nars oat cakes, the finely milled, the yellow ones are really nice. If you put a little bit of butter, some honey and chop some bananas on top of those, you can have like 3 or 4 of those and they're really good. You know, the bananas are slow releasing, the oats are slow releasing. They're quite like, they almost feel like a biscuit, but without yeah. any of the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Check me out. What's happened to me?
Yeah, yeah, I really yeah. don't know.
You've only been away for 5 days, Georgia. Yeah.
I'm the one going all bite in the supermarket and Zoe's going, oh, shop this up. What has happened? We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
Okay, here we go. How to best fuel. I guess this is kind of around the sort of same thing, but fueling the body in the fourth trimester for recovery. And I guess there's a question here around sort of weight loss, because, you know, we are... The language around eating during pregnancy, like you said, is either avoiding certain foods or it's like, oh, well, don't worry about it. You're eating for two. Like, I know how much weight I gained, you know, about 3.5-4 stone during my first pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And for somebody that's only 8.5 stone, that's a lot. I felt I had a big job to do at the end of it because I really didn't feel very comfortable. And that was because I was literally just reaching for the wrong things constantly. And everyone's like, oh, don't worry about it. You're eating for two. It's like, not really eating for two. I think there's something like, what did we say? It's the equivalent to eating an extra banana or something a day.
Yeah,
Georgia,
it's not a lot.
Not a lot.
It's like
yeah.
a couple of hundred calories or something. Yeah,
it's 200 calories and yes. it should only be in the third trimester.
Exactly.
Yeah. And 200 calories is a banana or it's half an avocado yeah. or it's a piece on toast.
Yeah, it's not a lot, is it?
So I guess just kind of what, you know, advice and tips on kind of how to kickstart things afterwards. And is it really just having a look at your diet as a whole?
You know, it's hard for me to say as a man, but I would say in the fourth trimester, weight loss isn't something you should be worried about. Yeah. That should, if you want to, you know, do that should come a bit later. You know, the fourth trimester is kind of part of the pregnancy for a reason. It's a time to bed down and nourish you and baby. The energy stuff, again, if you haven't had a baby yet, I think it's very hard to understand how in the fourth trimester, your time just shrinks. You know, things that you yeah. could do very, very easily, you now can't do anymore. So if you can find some time in the third trimester to fill your freezer with lots and lots of high energy foods, your fourth trimester self will really, really thank you. So we're about 6 weeks away from giving birth, and I'm just about to start thinking about doing that again, filling the freezer so that in the evening, both of you, whether one's working, whether one's been feeding a baby all day, you can just pop something out, pop it in the microwave, and you've got healthy, high energy food. So as well as, you know, the casseroles and the stews, soups, pesto, stir fries, risottos, all that kind of stuff, or get friends to bring it over for you, because yeah. that's going to give you that nourishing food. And so you don't start feeling shit about yourself. And maybe if you are feeling, you know, bad about your body in the fourth trimester, it could also be because you're eating food that makes you feel bad about yourself.
That's what, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Adam, I loved all of that you just said, because there's so much pressure on us. You know, the baby's out. Oh, bang. It's like, yeah. no, absolutely not. The fourth trimester is a real thing. And like you said, I definitely don't think that I put enough emphasis on, you know, having those different foods banked in the freezer, or actually nurturing and looking at, you know, cook was my savior. Georgia, you used to say that as well, didn't you? Loved cook vouchers is something we always say, but if you're a bit more prepped, like Adam is telling us to be, then we've got our own cook in the freezer.
Yeah. Well, what is it? I mean, in half the world, the fourth trimester, you just stay in bed feeding your
That's
baby.
That's what I was going to say. You stay at home, don't you? Like you don't leave the house. People look at you like you're absolutely crazy if you leave the house after it, like before a month is up.
Yeah.
Because people just stay at home and they're looked after and they're probably fed really well.
Yeah.
And yeah, but we don't do that here, which is really
strange. Just emphasis to get out and lose the weight.
Get back on with it and like,
so true.
It's no wonder so many of us struggle. You know, quite often it's like the first month people feel okay, and then it's like once that month is over, they start realization hits, they haven't looked after themselves, they haven't recovered, and you can feel terrible, like you can feel really bad.
Yeah, because kind of the world gets on, doesn't it? And you're just expected to kind of get on with it. It's weird as we're saying this, because I'm so aware that I'm about to go right back to the start in a couple of weeks. I'm thinking, oh god.
You're going back there. Great snacks for labor, please.
Sure. So completely selective, because some people don't eat anything in labor, some people get hungry. But high nutritious little snacks. So one thing that made my heart sing was I posted yesterday on my Instagram account some chocolate tahini and almond energy balls that are really, really good to eat in the third trimester. And I felt I kind of wanted to say, and eat these in labor if you want to. But I thought, again, you know, I'm a man. It's very difficult to say in what is a very, very personal experience. This is what you can eat, what you can't eat. But then someone commented on it saying, just so you know, I made these in the third trimester and snacked on them during my labor and they kept me going. And that made me feel really, really good.
Yeah, so, that's lovely.
Energy balls, whether you make them yourself or whether you buy them, you know, they're so easy to make. Take about 5 minutes.
How do you make them? Tell us now.
Chocolate, tahini, almond and date. The date is what makes everything stick together. Mm. So in a food processor, put 100 grams each of almond, date, probably about 200 grams of cocoa powder and maybe 4 or 5 teaspoons of tahini. So that makes it stick together.
Is tahini the stuff that you put in hummus?
It is.
Yes. Yeah. It's basically sesame. So
watch
it's nuts,
out, world.
Right? Just whiz it up for a few seconds and then roll it into little balls, put it in the freezer. You can eat it direct from the freezer or take it out, put it in the fridge. And then a few hours later, you've got it. So that's something you can do.
Yummy.
something you shouldn't do, actually, which I made the mistake of in our first labor. My wife, it was about a 3-day labor, so it was, you know, full of fun, as you can imagine. But we were home for about half of it. And then finally, we were like, right, I think we probably need to go to hospital quite soon. I hadn't eaten all day. My wife didn't want to eat a thing. I don't know why, but I decided to make myself a grilled cheese and tuna sandwich. And the smell, she says, was disgusting. She literally came in. She's like, what are you eating? So we had to fumigate everything. And so strong foods. Don't do that. No smelly foods. But yeah, just little things like that. You know, coconut water is really good. Anything, just kind of anything you can have in small moderation, I'd say.
I tell you what, though, the worst thing you can do is do what we did, which was go with nothing. And then we're in the midwife-led unit in Cheltenham for like 2 days, and there was no snacks, no food for Dozer. He was like going, I mean, he was like, I'm going to have to go. I was like, you can't leave me. And I was like, he was like, I need to eat. I've got to eat. And then the second time round, we had it on like on point. You know, we had bags of snacks, and he was like, there's also an M&S downstairs. I am sorted. Like, he was really, you know, it was all about him rather than about me wanting
about
to eat anything. Yeah.
Actually, you know what you just said about eating? I don't think I ate. I think all I had was fizzy fangs, and my throat was so sore after. I remember being like, oh my God, my throat is so sore. And my mum was like, yeah, because you've basically eaten 4 packets of like,
oh my God, Georgia,
fizzy fangs. That's all you've eaten. So yeah, of course you've probably like burnt your esophagus or something.
That's brilliant.
So don't do that either.
I went off to hide in the toilet and eat all the M&S sandwiches I brought with in the first trimester because my wife didn't want to eat anything. And then the second time around, it was such a quick labor. I actually remember thinking, oh, I could probably nip out and get us a takeaway McDonald's, which I did, which was brilliant.
Oh, brilliant. Well done. She didn't have any of it, so you got double. Brilliant.
No, it was when baby was born. So we celebrated with a McDonald's.
Do you know what? After I had my daughter, Gigi, I was left like, I think it was like 12 hours with nothing to eat and no money. Oh, my mum and my husband left me thinking I was going to be out in like a couple of hours. And I just remember I was absolutely starving. So anyone listening to this, please don't do that. Please don't do that to anybody. It's not good. Brought me in a quinoa salad after having not eaten for about 15 hours.
You want the buttery toast, don't you?
Yeah. Please don't bring a quinoa salad in. Thanks.
Here's a great question. 10 weeks pregnant with twins and can only keep down beige carbs.
Oh, I've been there.
Enjoy it and keep eating beige carbs. That is literally kind of everything that I'm about, is that your body... Some people don't realize that in the first trimester, you are creating a life. Trimesters 2 and 3, you are growing a life. The energy your body needs to create a life is phenomenal, which is why your body tells you to eat carbs and protein, because it needs energy. In every other time of our lives, we listen to what our body is telling us. It's no different in pregnancy. If your body is telling you to eat beige carbs, eat them and enjoy them and know that, fingers crossed, it will change as you get through your pregnancy. As long as you're having your vitamins and everything that you should be, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, and I can really empathise with this because both Georgia and I had really bad morning sickness until sort of 13, 14 weeks. But the one thing that I could, because I was a beige carber as well during that first trimester. was porridge. And I used to grate, and I still do it for the kids now actually, I used to grate apple, mashed banana, and then do flax and stuff in it. And then if I didn't fancy it hot in the summer when I was pregnant, I used to soak it overnight. So soaked oats with oat milk. And that was actually a really nice thing to do. And then it's already there. So if you are heading, and actually it made me feel better because I knew that I was eating apple and banana first thing in the morning and then the rest of the day, oh well, if it was just mashed potatoes and gravy, then so be it. So I think as well, just, you know, like Adam said before, if you know that you're kind of maybe doing one meal that's got a little bit of nutrients in it, then you won't feel too bad for the rest of the day.
Yeah. And also, do you know what I found? Swapping things out. So not in the first trimester, but the second, I really craved pick a mix. We can obviously see a theme running here. But I found that, you know, if you get like bits of mango and then you squeeze lime over the top.
Oh, you loved this.
You get that same like, I don't know what it is, like tangy, sour flavour. So if I was craving pick a mix, I'd go, right, no, I'm going to have mango and lime first and see if that like sorts it out. And quite often it would.
Interesting.
And just like, just I don't know. I really craved that, like, real, yeah, tangy.
Yeah, you got really into, like, sparkling water as well.
Sparkling water with lime. Fizz, right? I would drink, yeah, like, gallons of it, which I guess is not too bad, is it, really, just to drink that?
You could hear Georgia before you saw her. She was burping all the way down the street.
My wife was tomato salad with loads and loads of salt, and it creates same kind of fizziness. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
But again, like, if you look at it from an outside perspective, why not have fun and have, you know, cheesy mac and cheese, tartiflette, you know, all that kind of heavy carb stuff that we love. Embrace it and enjoy it. And as you said, you know, you can, you know, if you can swap out starchy white stuff for whole grain, then you're doing something good. You know, if you can have, instead of, you know, white toast, have some brown toast, whole grain toast, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's helping. But at the end of the day, do what makes you feel good to get you through your pregnancy.
And have fun with it. Like, yeah, exactly. I guess that's what your book's about, isn't
what,
it?
What about pregnancy cravings? Are they a real thing or are they a mental thing?
I think it's a mental thing. There's no evidence that corresponds to that. But I think everything we've talked about in craving, kind of salt and fizz is kind of the underlying thing. So I think there's definitely something about craving salt or craving that kind of fizz that either you get from sparkling water, pick and mix, or salt.
Yeah. Do you know what I got? Do you remember how heavily into carrots I got?
That's what I was going to say.
I was obsessed with carrots. We were going through hundreds of carrots every week. And I used to waddle off down the stairs and he could just hear me like coming back up.
That was with Kit, wasn't it?
It was with Kit. I had them in every pocket of my dressing gown.
And does he like carrots?
No, he hates all fruit and vegetables. But I also ice cubes. I got really into crunching the ice cube. It was just
weird. The crunch. The crunch. Fizz.
Yeah, maybe it's all about senses. Maybe it's textures.
Yeah,
it's really interesting. Is there anything else that you kind of want to sort of jump on and say? Obviously, you've got your baby coming, but is there another book in the pipeline? Can you give us a little exclusive anywhere? Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, fingers crossed. The next step on from feeling positive around pregnancy is my own little bugbear is fussy eating. You know, I'm on a mission to try and stop everybody using the word fussy eating, because I think, again, we're being quite hard on our kids and telling them what they shouldn't do when we should kind of be focusing what we should do. So my eldest is what you would call a fussy eater, but I prefer to call him he doesn't have much confidence when it comes to food. So we spend all of our time building up his confidence and making the dinner table kind of a positive place to be. And that starts working for us. So I think as I look to further carry on with this, the next thing for me is going to be around positive family eating.
Oh my God, Adam, yes, as soon as possible, please, because there is so much pressure on oh yes, my child ate penne all'arrabbiata, and you're like, oh well, mine's just eating a can of spaghetti hoops again.
It's just pasta and tomato sauce.
Yeah, you just feel like crap, don't you, about it, because you know, kids just do things at different stages. And yeah, so yeah, if you could do that ASAP, that'd be great.
I'll get on it.
We look forward to it.
Adam, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute treat, and good luck with everything.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Adam.
I mean, what a lucky lady Adam's wife is. Seriously. I'd like to be looked after like that.
Wakes her up in the night when she's breastfeeding and he's like, tiramisu, chocolate mousse. It's like, I'd be lucky if I got a sharp elbow to the ribs telling me to keep it down.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was going to say. I'd be lucky if I was told not to shut up because James was sleeping, or even offered if I was offered a glass of water and it was a good day.
No, do you know what? It's just it's just lovely how people say I love you. And I think for Adam, his way of saying I love you to his wife is by cooking for her, by making her bits and pieces. But what I really loved about him as well was that he wasn't the sort of person to shy away from saying, yeah, do you know what? To celebrate the birth of one of our kids, we go for a McDonald's. And it's that's probably everybody's reality too, but nobody really speaks about it. But I quite like the fact that he had a lot of balance in his answers.
Yeah, exactly. And especially for from someone like him, he's realistic. He's saying, you know what, you can do all that, you know, you can prep all your snacks and prep all your veg on a Sunday, but it's not always going to be like that. And you just got to do the best you can. And also, I loved that he acknowledged that during the first trimester, a lot of women just want to eat beige food.
Yeah.
I think so many people worry about that, especially during their first pregnancy, because they feel like, you know, you really want to look after yourself. And it's annoying when all you want to do is eat beige. But he's given us some really great ways that you can do that and still get some nutrition in there. So
yeah, definitely. No, it's a brilliant Q&A. I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. Before we go, we've got to do our products for the week. So we're going to stick to the kitchen. George, you kick us off.
Yeah, so I'm going to kick us off. This is a brand of frozen foods. It's called Picard. They actually do desserts and party bites and things like that. But I buy the Picard frozen ratatouille. I also bought Picard. They're like sliced garlicky potatoes. They do loads of different stuff, but you can just take out a handful. So it's great if you're just cooking for yourself or if you're in a rush. Like you can literally just, you could have the ratatouille on. It will take you about 7 minutes to heat up on the stove. And then like the potatoes, exactly the same. I think they take 15 minutes and you literally just put them in a frying pan with no oil, nothing. They don't have any additives. It's a really good range of like slightly fancy frozen food. Highly recommend.
Great. I'm going to always come to you for slightly fancy things, can't we, George? Slightly fancy. I enjoy that. Slightly fancy. I am going to talk, it was actually something that was given to me, but I'd never heard of this brand before. Eleanor Boma, but you have.
Yeah,
sold at John Lewis.
She's the leopard print lady. She has so many leopard print patterns, so obviously I know about it.
Been given this set of three. It's like a baking utensils from John Lewis, under 20 quid. And the kids have been using them and they're just like really colourful. They've got wooden handles. We've been doing a little bit more baking, just trying to make things like flapjacks and gluten-free cookies and like these little tartlets. I say we. I didn't do very much of that, but the kids have been leading the way. Isla is so good. So it's just, they've been brightening up my kitchen.
Oh, sounds brilliant. I mean, I don't know about you, but once my kids tasted juice, like high juice, Robinson's, it's really difficult to get them to just drink water. I mean, occasionally they will. So I have been looking for some alternatives. And I found this brand called Spruce Water. And essentially, it's just like a little powder that you add in to a glass of water and it just makes it taste a bit nicer.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they're really good. And they're, you know, just made from real fruit. You know that there's no nasties in there. It's a good brand to try.
I've got a confession.
Yeah.
I've never, ever, 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 ever given my kids juice.
Have you not?
They've never
That's
tried.
So good. I wish I hadn't.
We don't have squash in the house. We just don't have it. And they just, I'm sure they've drunk it at like party, like kids' parties or whatever. But in terms of they just get water, that's just what they get.
Yeah.
We just don't have any juice in the house.
No, I wish I'd done that. But I remember, I think Axel, he must have had like been constipated or something like that. And I remember I just needed to try and get him to drink loads and loads and loads. And so I think I got like some Robinson's high juice or something like that.
Right.
And then now every single day in his water bottle at school, he's like, I don't just want water. I want a little bit of juice in there. And I'm like, oh, okay, fine.
So what about at meal times?
Oh, no, to be fair, he has water at meal times. It's just more in the, you know, like taking to school. Like, I think they maybe talk about it. Like, oh, I've got summer fruits. Oh, I've got this. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, it's not, I mean, no, it's not. You know, I'm not buying the super sugary stuff. It's all.
No, mate, there's no judgment here.
It's probably not even that bad, but this Spruce Water stuff is much better.
Better.
Much better.
My final product, have I been banging on enough on Instagram about my toasty maker? This is taking me back to my childhood. We used to have toasties all the time and I can't believe I haven't had them in the house, like a maker, for such a long time. And then suddenly the other day, Isla was like, oh, we've got a toasty maker at Mum's. And I was like, if her mum's got one, I'm gonna have to get one.
We
can put loads of stuff in them as well, like tuna melts as well. I've been making, which are absolutely delicious. But just for the kids, cheese and ham. Kit just likes a ham one. It's just like
a
quick and easy. It's like a different alternative lunch. You know, like sometimes at the weekends, I'm like, oh, they want picky lunch. What am I going to give them?
Yeah, and you can have fun with it, can't you? Because you can put loads of different fillings.
We got the Breville Ultimate Deep Fill. Sounds fun, doesn't it?
Sounds like you can get a lot of filling in that one.
Under 35 quid. Bob's your uncle, Charlie's your aunt.
Brilliant. And just to finish off, this is a range of cookery books called The Roasting Tin. So they've got like the quick roasting tin, the veggie roasting tin. I think they even have a dessert one as well. But it's basically meals that you can cook in one roasting tin. And you just like shove all the stuff in and bung it in the oven. And it's a brilliant range of cookbooks. So if you're looking for a bit of inspiration, then definitely check those out.
Brilliant. Listen, as always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe and give the podcast a little follow. And thank you so much for sending in your questions. Of course, these Friday's Q&A episodes don't happen without you.
Yeah, thank you. And if you have got any suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, we are all ears. Just please drop us a DM on @MadeByMamas and we'll be back on Tuesday. Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.